Thank you, Tom. Excellent stuff. It's time now for us to press a button, I think.
Hi, I'm Rachel from On Broadcast, and you're listening to Alex Levchuk on the Midweek Drive.
Thank you. Okay, Cameron, let's move straight into a very laid-back number, because this, for Andy's benefit and any new listeners who might be joining us, is pretty much where Cameron takes the field from Nashville, that's Nashville, Tennessee, and brings us one of MapleStar's music and media's sensational little tunes, which you may not have heard of before, but, you know, kind of sets the scene. Sometimes it might go into the rock aspect of Americana, sometimes it might be pure country, sometimes it might just be a wonderful tune to sort of settle up to. And Andy, as you, when you're not actually doing your PhD studies, and of course, fine work though they are, you sometimes work with another Northern Irish lass who's been on the show before in the Jolly Brewer.
I do indeed, yes, absolutely.
Would you give a name check to that song?
That would be Andrea Ferguson.
That would be Andrea Ferguson.
Our music manager, the key star of Wednesday evenings. Tonight's Wednesday, by the way. Get yourselves down to the Jolly Brewer for the open mic night. All of the talent
Shameless
in Lincoln.
Straight in
all
there.
Of the talent in Lincoln floats right through that place. If you ever hear a really good busker in Lincoln, they'll be playing there this evening.
Well, I mean, what a promotional thing. Anyway, I can probably say that the choice of music this week will not be appearing this evening in the...
I don't think so.
Unless we can really actually adjust things in all sorts of ways, it's unlikely to actually work out. But it is an interesting laid-back number, so would you like to take the floor, Cameron, and formally introduce Mr. Diego?
Griego.
Griego, even.
I met this guy last June during CMA Music Festival here in Nashville. We were shooting a lot of TV interviews for the TV show Young Country that I do. And we went on the bus with this guy. Seriously, one of the funniest and most enjoyable interviews I have ever done in my life. Really liked it. Nice guy. His name is Danny Griego. And this is a track from his current album, and I think you're really going to dig it. I do. This is called The Coast is Clear, Siren FM.
Afternoon low tide.
So what did we make of The Coast is Clear, Eleanor?
Well, we were just saying how Cameron has... We've noticed that his taste is quite into country music, but it was really nice, yeah.
Really nice from Eleanor.
Not sure I liked it as much as I liked Do Love Well.
Do Love Well. Well, you know, you set a standard with Do Love Well.
Yeah.
I mean, Diana Upton Hill, that quality stuff in every sense of the word. And a fine debutante she made on the show last week, of course. Was it 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks,
Andy, what did you make of... I was going to say Diego. Obviously, I'm obsessed with this. So Mr. Griego, Danny Griego.
You have issues.
Yeah, clearly. Yeah. don't talk to me about Barcelona. All I can say is thank heavens for Joe Hart's penalty save. Anyway, carry on.
Oh, I loved it. I love country music. I was getting real Kenny Rogers vibes from that. It was fantastic.
Real Kenny Rogers vibes.
Keep it coming.
Excellent. And Christy?
I'd like to put that like on in my car with like if I had a convertible and just drive down the road to it in the sun. It's very chilled, very nice.
And yes, she's back because she was a little bit delayed because she was doing option choices.
These lecturers at the University of Lincoln can't keep their times right. Gosh.
That's right.
I mean, just as I was about to press this button here.
This is Rachel Abbott, and when I'm not producing all manner of audio goodness for On Broadcast, I always like to check out the latest news and views of Emma Tinson, Jessica Ward, and other Midweek Drivettes on the Midweek Drive for Siren FM.
Just don't worry, Christy, you'll get a jingle eventually.
I'm excited. I really want a jingle.
Same for yourself, Andy, no doubt. And of course,
I don't have a jingle.
Wait, now that's not strictly true, is it, Cameron? I mean, you had several attempts at these.
You've done some really kind of strange ones.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So we've had some really kind strange ones.
Let's put it this way. I haven't had a good jingle in the 6 years that I've been...
Yeah, I'm sorry. Do you know, I mean, there was always this classic.
The best in contemporary country music, lashings of Americana, and taking digital worlds to new levels. It can only be Cameron Tilbury.
Yeah, you see, there we are.
Why don't we let Cameron make his own?
Good point. There what you are, Cameron. Make your own jingle.
Yeah, introduce yourself.
We could do that. Yeah, a little radio or audio radiance for the radio audience.
Like it.
Ooh,
like it.
That's good.
Yeah, you can tell these Canadians can write copy. You know, it's very good from that point. Meanwhile, the world awaits. Emma Tunson, what did you make of Danny Grego?
Well, I only caught the end of it, obviously, but from what I heard, it was very mellow and quite chilled out, which I quite like, really. It's quite relaxing.
I would definitely sort of endorse that. It was thumbs up from that point of view. So, Eleanor, any questions you want to put to Cameron Tilbury about life, the universe, or anything else at this particular stage?
Well, how are things in America? Because I've heard that it's really cold, and I'm quite worried. I'm going to Washington, and it's terrible.
It should be better then, but it's been really cold. We had an ice storm last week. I didn't get out of the office. Well, my office is at home, and I didn't get out until Thursday. It was just nasty. And we're supposed to be getting more snow today. It's CRS week here in Nashville, which is the country radio seminar. So we've got people in from all over the world, radio people, going to seminars and meeting and showcases and meeting up with artists and stuff. So everybody was figuring they'd come here for a bit of warmth, and they ain't getting that. Even over in Texas, they're getting ice and snow and sleet. So it's wacky weather.
It's always essential to get a weather report. There's a little creek there. Cameron, of course, is one of those fine folk. Danny Grego, presumably he's wearing the hat in the middle of this little identification.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, why did you tag me in this? Because obviously I'm not there at all, unless I've changed remarkably. And no, that was previous incarnation.
I tag you. Yeah, so we tap into your vast network of people. It was Jeff Miller, who is the producer of Young Country TV. He's also the cameraman, and Danny and myself on Danny's bus.
That's a bus.
Yes.
I thought it was a hotel room, but it is actually
a
bus.
It is a bus.
It was his bus. And it was funny because when we got on the bus, he asked us if we wanted any Mexican Coke. And I thought, well, that's kind of a dubious question to ask people. But he's talking about Coca-Cola because in Mexico, they don't use fructose and those kind of sweeteners. They use real sugar. So Mexican Coke is always better than the Coke you get here.
That's very helpful because obviously, Christy, next time you're over in the States, you know, if anybody sort of says, would you like some Mexican Coke? Signora,
exactly, it's not a bad thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
I have a really bad record with fizzy drinks in the States. There's a there's a bar you can go to, and they let you try different fizzy drinks from like all over the world. And there's one particular called Beverly, which is from I think Israel or somewhere like that. And I tried it, and I shouldn't have because I should have noticed there was like sticky floor all around the tap because people had just been spitting it out. It was so awful.
I'm a Dr. Pepper fan. I love Dr. Pepper. That's my favorite.
Other drinks that rot your teeth are available, but still, it's worth our way through that at another time entirely. Emma, last two questions for Cameron Tilbury, please.
Of course, Cameron, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
It's been fun once again, yeah.
And
that's very good. Emma, you know, have you got a set of headphones on?
No.
Bless her heart.
I'm just hearing
Lord.
The echo about. Cameron, will you be joining us again next week?
I'll be back next week. Looking forward to it.
And we'll try and sort out a pair of headphones so that Emma doesn't have what's now become known as the Christy Bond experience.
Yeah.
Wings and Medicine Jar. Okay, well, the challenging news is that neither our link to Jersey or indeed the Forbidden Planet seems to be connecting other than going to answer phone. But the great news is we have time to actually find out a bit more about what Andy's been doing and obviously what Jane Chapman's involved with down in Australia at present. Because, Andy, you've been doing your PhD studies and you've also been a research assistant with this wonderful comics project at the University of Lincoln, have you not?
I have indeed, yes. It's been fantastic. I've spent 3 years reading non-stop, back-to-back World War One, World War Two era comics, which has
all
been
graphic
very,
narratives,
very entertaining.
All sequential which, stories.
Exactly. Sequential narratives is the choice of term that we decided to use on the project because it differentiates what we're looking at from cartoons. But they also sent me across to Washington, D.C. for a while to read comics in the Library of Congress, which was a phenomenal experience for 6 months because they have the biggest archives of comics there in the world. And at the moment, my supervisor, Jane Chapman, she is down under in the Land of Oz and curating this wonderful exhibition of First World War comics and focusing, highlighting the Australian involvement in Gallipoli, which was really the beginnings of Australian cultural identity in a way that can be charted and mapped through all of these trench publications that the soldiers produced at the time. So it hasn't been a boring 3 years at all. It's
I
been fantastic.
Not. Working with Jane Chapman could be anything but boring.
It is absolutely fantastic. Yes, she's a wonderful lady.
And indeed, we'll be launching the show tomorrow morning, Emma. Tomorrow morning she'll be on the show.
Very
yes,
spicy.
No, yes. So that's great stuff as we connect with her. You've had an interesting connection with both philosophy, public relations.
Yes.
Working, obviously, at the Jolly Brewer.
Yes,
putting
indeed.
Together various other factors. Quite a smorgasbord of academia that you actually worked through there. And life, perhaps.
I wouldn't entirely call working in the Jolly Brewer academia, but I have been a bartender for exactly half of my life now, which is from I was 14 up until now.
14?
14, yes.
14.
I got my first job in
a bar.
In the Tidy Doffer, in the bar of the Tidy Doffer, which was before it burnt down, the largest thatched bar and restaurant in Northern Ireland.
There we are.
Which was phenomenal.
So were you doing the Tom Cruise stuff there, the flipping of cocktails and such like?
No, that came at a later date. That started in retro rooms up in Aberdeen around about the time I was 22. I've been a very keen juggler for a few years now, and I figure there's no money in juggling, but if you can flip about a few bottles and do the flip to pour. Tom Cruise, by the way, only does one move in that entire film, which is the flip to pour, and that's all he does. Coyote Ugly is a much better film for
in more ways than one. It's got Piper Peabo Bryson, Peabo Parabo, Piper Parabo, who went on to star in a wonderful sort of American adventure series as well. Are we okay with that, Christy? Because we've been here. Are we sorted and happy? She's got a nice. It's like a sort of a stress knot that she's got there.
The wires are like alive. They're just every time I untangle them, they just retangle themselves.
Well, there we have it. It's a little bit of insight into life and times at 5:20 on the Midweek Drive here as things continue. Eleanor, any questions for Andy about his study, his interest there? Because, I mean, as somebody who, I know we tease you about this, but you had to be convinced that science fiction was a worthwhile course of study before you signed up for your
module. I didn't
module.
Have to be convinced. What? I was convinced throughout my time studying it.
Well, there we are. You're right. So there we are. Okay, so similar sort of thing. Questions for Andy.
Are there any particular comics that you've researched that you found most interesting or any that are your favourites?
I'm going to undermine myself here. Not that I've researched. the writing in the golden age of comics is absolutely abysmal.
With Superman, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, and Batman.
If I have to read the phrase shortly later again,
exactly.
One more time.
With one leap, he was free. Faster than a speeding bullet.
Absolutely. There is a problem. The solution is the superhero. End of story. My favourite era of comics was the British revival of American horror comics in the late 80s and early 90s. Neil Gaiman, Alan Moore, they're my heroes. That there of comic book writing is absolutely phenomenal. But as far as the period that I'm researching goes, the most interesting comics were actually unpublished, self-produced comics by troops during that era, because they gave us a little insight into their mentality.
Text messaging without the electronics, so you're actually there.
It was a little bit, I mean, the trench publications and so on were a bit like social networking in a way, but it was more to do with the freedom that they had to communicate their experiences, because graphic narratives, for want of a better term, weren't censored in the same way as written communication was, and indeed as oral communication was within the context of serving in the armed forces. So I find that fascinating. But also, I mean, the rhetoric involved in even, you know, and the symbolism in Captain America, Uncle Sam, and so on, it feeds right into popular culture.
Let's face it, that Joe Kubert, Jack Kirby creation of Captain America punching Adolf on the face was
over and
critical.
Over again.
Yeah, over. was critical in terms of swinging the balance into getting the Americans into the World War.
Yes, and what I'm really fascinated about, which is an aside maybe for a later date, is the amount of plagiarism that was involved in the comic book industry at that time.
Listen,
because Captain America is a rip off of the Shield.
Homage,
he will jump across the desk and kill you.
Yeah,
that's
dumb.
There are computers in the way. It's fine.
You'll be talking about the Shadow as being a thinly veiled sort of precursor to Batman. Who knows what evil lurks within men's hearts?
No. Oh. Just an interesting take on Dick Tracy.
Albatross there, Fleetwood Mac doing their unique, wonderful package there, and something which loosely actually ties in with our next sensational guests, who happens to be whom, Emma Tinson? Who is our next super sensational guest making her debut, about to make her debut, on the Midweek Drive today?
Is it Sarah Scowen?
Would that be the legendary Sarah Scowen, who not only is the absolute star turn par excellence in Return to the Forbidden Planet, has also packaged together a whole range of things from Mona in Chicago, and in indeed, Janet in the Rocky Horror Show. That's Sarah Scowen.
Yeah.
Sarah Scowen, are you indeed there?
I'm here.
Hey! Fantastic stuff. Welcome to the Midweek Drive and all the adventures there. Now, the reason we actually decided to go down the Fleetwood Mac road of Albatross was not because it's Andy Kerr's mum's all-time Desert Island Disc choice, which is fine, but it also features in the musical Return to the Forbidden Planet, I believe. Does it not?
It sure does, yeah.
Hey, see, this is it. Now, there are those of us who might not be familiar with the whole 25th anniversary of Return to the Forbidden Planet, or even the musical Return to the Forbidden Planet. First of all, Christy, Return to the Forbidden Planet, any thoughts?
Really cool. I'd like to go to the Forbidden Planet.
Before, Sarah, with your permission, let's go initially to the Forbidden Planet back in the 1950s, which might just sort of set the scene with this little number.
Imagine yourself as one of the crew of this faster-than-light spaceship of the future, sharing their curiosity to know the unknown, their tension, their readiness for inconceivable adventures.
Sir, we're being radar scanned.
United Planets cruiser C-57D, J.J. Adams commanding. Who are you?
Morbius of the Bellerophon.
Well, Dr. Morbius, my orders are to survey the situation on Altair 4.
Commander, if you sat down on this planet, I warn you that I cannot be answerable for the safety of your ship or your crew.
Which is probably the best traffic report we've ever actually given out on the Midweek Drive. We just cannot be responsible for the safety of the ship or the crew. The voices, of course, of Leslie Nielsen there and Walter Pidgeon in the original Forbidden Planet. We could have gone even further back, of course, Sarah. We could have gone back to The Tempest. But we thought, no, that's too far. And besides, William Shakespeare hadn't provided us with any useful sound clips we could actually use. So that's... Were you familiar, Sarah, with the original Forbidden Planet before you were signed up to be Miranda in Return to the Forbidden Planet?
I actually wasn't. No, ooh. I wasn't. But I have seen the film there since. And although our show is... We do sort of honour the film Forbidden Planet, our story, as like you said, is loosely based on Shakespeare's The Tempest. Mm. So we pay homage to the film, but we don't strictly stick to the story.
Exactly. See, homage, not plagiarism, Andy. You know, it's quite simple.
Yeah.
Troubling over semantics.
Well, exactly. I mean, there are three particular shows of the late 20th century that I think really kind of resonate and still continue to resonate in the 21st century. One of which, of course, you've already been part of, which is the Rocky Horror Show. Well, of course, mm-hmm. you portray Janet, and of course, people go there dressed in the full Rocky. Are we a Rocky Horror Show fan, Christy?
I am a big Rocky Horror Show fan.
Frankenfurter or Janet or
Frankenfurter.
Emma.
I've only seen clips of it. I've never seen the whole thing, but it looks so cool. I love the costumes and everything. It looks awesome.
Andy.
Every Halloween, I go as a sweet transvestite from Transsexual Transylvania.
Don't get many doctors to be admitting to that. Has to be said. There we are, and. I was going to say Rachel for a moment there. Eleanor.
I was actually watching the film a couple of days ago because one of my friends is going to see it in the theatre, but she's going to one of the theatre performances where you dress up.
Well, as if, this like, is it. You see, there's a Rocky Horror Show. The other one, of course, being that wonderful incarnation of the B movie that Roger Corman brought to the world, which was, of course, featuring Seymour the Plant, the Little Shop of Horrors, which was classic. Feed Me Seymour, etc. And then, of course, there was Return to the Forbidden Planet. Sarah, talk to us about this adventure that's actually there and that you're sort of currently taking across the UK on tour almost as we speak.
So, you want to think Shakespeare mixed with sci-fi, mixed with all your favourite 50s rock and roll tunes, mixed all up in a big bowl, and that's basically what you've got. So, we have the story basically, like, loosely based on The Tempest, where we have a love story, and we are on a spaceship, and we land on a planet that we do not know what this planet is. And we basically use rock and roll songs to tell the story that everybody knows.
Which is, you know, exactly what rock and roll was invented for, surely. I mean, it's what Chuck Berry and company effectively sort of put the whole thing together for. Looking at some of the sort of classics that we've got, the Roy Orbison, Only the Lonely, Telstar, we've got that coming up in a few seconds, which is kind of arguably 1960s as opposed to 1950s, and of course the first satellite's actually there. When you first saw the script for this, Sarah, what did you think, well, you know, if I can actually be Lucy Steele in Sense and Sensibility and also a courtesan and a funny thing happened on the way to the forum, curiously, exactly what Annette Andre played as well in the 1960s.
Huh?
Yeah, there we are.
There you go.
Yeah, she's now a regular North American correspondent, actually Californian correspondent for us. Did you sort of think when you were looking at this, well, it's time to change my agent, or did you think, what the hey, I'm an actor, I'm going to cope with this?
No, what I loved about it was the fact that it's Shakespeare's language, so it is very, very classically spoken. We have to stay true to Shakespeare. But that we have these really upbeat 60s rock and roll songs sandwiched in the middle. So it's sort of modern and past all mixed in together. So that's what attracted me to the role, really.
It's quite literally genius. I mean, look, you know, what's not to love about a website which just starts off with that? You know, created and directed by Bob Carlton. In fact, I think it's fair to say probably even at this very moment, Emma and Eleanor and Christy will be liking the Return to the Forbidden Planet on Facebook, maybe even tweeting us and all sorts of things from that point of view. Now, as well, you've got Brian May. Brian May as a newscaster. Via video transmission.
Yes, he is our newscaster. Yes, he is. And I must say, he does his Shakespeare very well.
I should hope so too. He's a doctor.
Yes, he does.
Exactly. He's a trained astronomer, one of Patrick Moore's favourites. God rest his soul. That's Patrick Moore, not Brian May. Yes. Obviously, we would like, but Brian May hasn't died. So that's the reason for that sort of particular aspect of that. So, again, a classic setup from that point. I mean, looking at some of those sort of aspects, the best rock and roll show in town, according to Daily Express, well, at least they've got something right. Uproarious Energy by the Guardian, five-star reviews, four-star reviews from that point of view, quite literally a brilliant cast of actor musicians. This is the great night out to remember. Emma, questions?
This looks so much fun. Yeah. I mean, I love musicals and theatre productions that really stick to a theme and get really involved in it with lots of costumes and sets and things like that. And just looking at the photos here on the website, it looks fantastic. And was that something you were quite excited about when you got the role to sort of get a bit more involved in a more exciting theme?
This show is like nothing you have ever seen before. It's a standalone show. It doesn't matter what musicals you've been in, done or seen before. This is completely different. It is wacky. It is off the wall. It doesn't make sense, but it is so much fun that by the end of the night, everybody's on their feet, and that's exactly why I wanted to do it.
Andy. Sorry, Andy. I was just phasing my microphone down there. So jaw-dropping with excitement on this. Andy, questions from yourself.
I'm just curious as to, in research to your role, are you a big fan of, or did you watch a lot of 1950s and indeed 1980s B-movies?
We did. Well, we sort of, as a group, we had a little look at some B-movies. As I said before, I did Rocky Horror, so I was quite good trained in, you know, that kind of style. But we watched Forbidden Planet. We had a look at some B-movies. You know, we played around with some of the parts and kind of developed them in the B-movie style to make sure that we were staying true to it. Yeah, it was kind of a group effort as opposed to me doing stuff on my own, which is always the best way because then we come up with the best ideas together.
And do you think perhaps that this will set you up for a role in the future with the RSC?
I wish. I hope so. Yeah.
If not the Royal Shakespeare Company, the Reduced Shakespeare Company is featured on the Drive Time on Monday with Andrew David.
There you go. Yeah.
It'll be fantastic. As the tour proceeds, I'm just thinking for tour dates because I know you're coming up to Darlington very shortly to actually perform and do fabulous stuff at the Darlington Civic Theatre. I haven't as yet seen the sort of event coming to Lincoln, which is a tragedy of unparalleled proportions. Actually, you know, we need to clearly put that.
We'll have to sort that out.
But we're going to give you a little choice, if we may, Sarah, in terms of a little musical mini break here. We'll come back to you in a few moments. Would you like to go for Telstar, which is a fantastic tune, or indeed Only the Lonely with Roy Orbison? Which one are you going to go for, Telstar or Only the Lonely?
It's got to be Telstar.
Yeah, I think, you know, you've made a perfect choice there. And I think as we're ready, I just feel as though we're going back to the 60s already. Send off that satellite now! Part of the show, Sarah, does this whole thing Telstar take off, quite literally, then?
Pardon? Sorry, I didn't hear that.
What part of the show does the whole Telstar thing really kind of emerge? Can you just share with us that little smidgen from the show where that really...
Well, that would be the takeoff of our spaceship right at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, you see, this is it. I think either our web system here in the studio has gone completely doolally or we're having eye troubles and all sorts of things because we've got the tour dates that actually have come up there. We can see certain things like the new theatre and the Wimbledon Theatre, 23rd to the 28th of March. It just seems to be... But you're there. I mean, I think the key thing is the website to go to is the Return to the Forbidden Planet website, and you'll find out the 25th anniversary tour is there in full force. Eleanor, any final thoughts for yourself?
Well, yeah, I am looking at the website and it's crazy, but there's a lot of, I don't know, there seems to be a lot of colour.
There's a lot of dynamism. There's a lot of other sort of areas that's coming in from that point of view. It's probably actually, Emma, the perfect night out, isn't it?
I think it looks fantastic. I'd definitely go with all my friends.
Is all this colourfulness, is it reflected in your costumes for the performance? What are they like? Is it just as crazy as the website?
Yes, they are absolutely as crazy as the website, yeah. The colour is the one thing you will need your sunglasses when you come. Maybe you're in part two, but, you know, you certainly won't be lost for colour on the stage.
And I think, Sarah, you've probably provided us with the quote of the evening, no matter what actually happens in future. Correspondents from Hollywood, Los Angeles, or indeed from Eden, you will need your sunglasses when you come. It's very important. It's critical from that point of view. Sarah, it's been fabulous touching base with yourself. Again, sort of wonderful. I love the way you've actually dedicated this particular tour and your performance to your father, again, your biggest fan. You'd be looking down now and thinking, that's my girl. Brilliant stuff.
He's there every night with me.
I'm not surprised. Exactly so. obviously not literally, otherwise we'd be talking about zombies, so that's a different line entirely. Sorry. Anyway, two final questions. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic debut with us on the Midweek Drive today? Has it been okay for yourself?
Yes, it's been great fun. Thanks for having me.
Good, this is okay. Now, as the tour proceeds, and I mean, I feel quite guilty about this because, you know, we normally actually give some of the touring numbers and lines within that. We can see the dates. We can see 2nd, 7th of March, 10th, the 14th of March. Well, actually, where are you at present, Sarah?
So, we actually arrived in Darlington on Monday.
Yes.
And we will be in Darlington for a week, and then we are off to Edinburgh.
Mm-hmm.
And then I believe Stoke-on-Trent.
Fantastic.
And then we are back home in London, and that's probably where you've got on the website, New Wimbledon in London.
This is exactly so. You see, you brought us to a bit like Altair did, obviously, when she wasn't Miranda, but she was played by the fabulous Anne Francis in the original movie. Is there a moment where the captain of the Bellerophon actually turns around and says, "Oh, mother"?
There isn't, but our Captain Tempest is very, very similar to that. And he has a... where it is a little bit like that, but not those exact words.
No. Well, it's important. Listen, I feel duty bound. We shall actually try and get a little team together to actually catch you in full force.
Please do. We'll
work on that basis. I take it then we could look forward to possibly connecting with you again in the very near future as the tour proceeds.
Absolutely.
Excellent. A round of applause, please, for Sarah. Brilliant stuff. Excellent. And I think, you know, just apropos of what we were talking about, even though normally this is wheeled out usually on October 31st, because I think this also features with the monster from the id and so on, what do you think, Sarah? Monster Mash, the original with Bobby Pickett and his Crypt Kickers?
Go for it. Monster Mash.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight, for my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.